I know that there's a lot of crazy stuff going on this time of the year, and all of us, including myself, sometimes start to get a little frantic that we got so much to do. Christmas is so near, and there's so much to do. But the season of Advent is supposed to be a chance for us to prepare, to get ready. But in a few weeks, it'll be all over. The big day has come. The big day is gone. All the decorations will be in place. The packages, some of them will still be wrapped because family couldn't make it and different things. The last card has to be sent out. Where I was thinking this morning about one particular person that I wanted to contact. And, it just slips away from us. Our mind goes, I don't know. Like mine. If you find a good mind laying around, it's probably mine. If it's slightly used, it's mine. But the question I have for all of us, are we prepared for Christmas? And I mean the real Christmas, not the Christmas of Santa Claus. Although Santa Claus is an important part of Christmas, if you study where that whole tradition came from, you'll realize that St. Nicholas was a follower of Christ. He was a preacher. The tinsel, the reindeer, all of that. I was watching last night Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on Channel 6. Any of you watching that? It brought back a lot of wonderful memories. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of Burl Ives, where he used to sing that. But in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives us a formula for getting our hearts ready for Christmas. Listen close to these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness, he says, be evident to everybody. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about everything, but rejoice in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving in your heart as you make your request to God. And then what happens? The peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Paul gives us a very comprehensive formula for finding peace this Christmas and every day. Thanksgiving is my favorite time of the year because I, take time to give thanks. Christmas is great, but those of us who follow Christ celebrate his birth every day in our life because it's so special. But it's good for the world to see what Christmas is all about. So Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Christmas time is for joy. But the Apostle Paul's admonition about rejoicing in the Lord also is no Pollyanna denial of the presence of suffering in this world. He wrote that letter from prison, as I was telling the kids. Essentially, he was on death row in Rome. He was in chains, waiting to find out if he was going to be sentenced to death or if they were going to let him go. Paul had a heart's desire to go to Rome, but not the way that he ended up in Rome. He has an amazing spirit, though. Three times he was shipwrecked. At least one time he was stoned. And I don't mean stoned like they do now since they made pot legal. Not that kind of stone. He was actually stoned with stones. Five times and he was scourged with a whip. Beaten many other times. He'd been focus of riots and death threats. And after a harrowing near-death experience, he also then was snake-bitten one time. Yet these experiences could not take away the joy that he had. And it was so obvious by his example that joy does not mean everything is going your way. Joy does not mean that receiving everything that you desire in this life. Joy doesn't mean having an enormous haul of goodies under your Christmas tree. Joy doesn't come from fame or prosperity, as we have surely seen in the lives of some of the biggest celebrities of our time. Joy comes from an inner assurance, blessed assurance, as Fanny Crosby said, that Jesus is mine. That whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, good times, bad times, remember that God is with you, is what he's telling us. I know that joy is difficult for some people this particular time of the year. I know my son living in the streets of Alexandria, Louisiana, is a veteran in many things, and he got all caught up in this opioid and crack and so forth, and now he's lost everything and he's living in the streets. I know Christmas is not going to be a joyous time for him. Other people are struggling with the same thing. There are persons who have lost their ability to laugh. Laughter is so important. It says in Proverbs that laughter is good medicine for our spirits. Paul is saying, rejoice. Now, there may not be a lot of miseries and a great deal of spirit. Sometimes Scrooge gets into the picture, and even myself sometimes, I've been known to be a bah humbug. The Grinch that stole Christmas, something that life has made them afraid of, to trust other people, or more importantly, to trust God. Dr. Raymond Moody, in his little book, Laugh After Laugh, he said this, and I quote, "It is well to recognize that some persons are actually fearful of joy, elation, pleasure, or other unusually positive emotional states. In many of these, people being joyful causes them to have feelings of guilt, shame, or unworthiness." I think that's sad, to be fearful, to feel unworthy. Experiencing happiness is sad to them. And unfortunately, such feelings have crept into our society and also in the attitudes of some of the followers of Jesus Christ. There's a story told of missionaries. You know, missionaries years ago used to go to countries and so forth, and they would try to not only evangelize the indigenous people there, but they tried to convert them to their own way of thinking and different things like that without ever understanding their culture. There's a story of a group of missionaries that went to Africa, and these missionaries told the people in the tribe, once they were baptized, they could no longer dance. Dance, like the American Indians, dance is an important part of their culture. So that particular tribe become known to the other tribes around them as the tribe who have given up dancing. How sad. We need to be reminded that our Puritan forefathers, they were great and they really were well-meaning, but they had to learn to grow in grace with Christ too, because a lot of them looked at Christmas as frivolous and also as a pagan holiday. There are some people who are afraid to be happy. They nurture their fears, their resentments, and their hurts. That's one of the reasons that I felt so led to do that series on hurts, hang-ups, and habits, because it takes away the addictions of alcohol and drugs and all that, because every one of us experience hurts, hang-up, or habit, and they shut themselves off from other people. They cannot experience the joy of Christmas because they will not let Christ set them free. They need to be like the quiet young writer who came to the wily, uninhibited Zorba the Greek and said to him, "Zorba, teach me to dance." If there was ever a time for dancing, it's Christmas time. The Lord of the heavens and the earth are into our world just like a tiny little babe. A supreme cause for celebration. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling some of us who are afraid. And we need to be able to have unadulterated joy in our life. I'm reminded of the scriptures in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't understand it as time, but in your own personal life, if you look back, things that you thought was terrible turned out to be good, or it worked out well, and if it wouldn't have had this or wouldn't have had that, it wouldn't have happened. So sometimes we just have to trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul also said in that scripture that I read, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." That sweet, sweet spirit. It's an interesting thought. Advent and Christmas are supposed to be a time of gentleness, unless, of course, you're headed for the mall. These people are crazy going to them malls 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. They're sitting out there in the tents, and you got to be kidding. At least I think maybe I'm the one that's crazy. I don't know. But some people have actually broke into fights over Christmas bargains. Others have been trampled by an avalanche of eager shoppers just to get something special for Christmas. I read about a nicely dressed woman who was standing outside a department store here in Tallahassee, waiting for it to open. and this other lady from Tallahassee, they started up a conversation. Well, the first lady started to be a little bit smug and had like a smug attitude. From the lady of Tallahassee, said, "Well, where are you originally from?" She said, "New York." Anyhow, they started talking. And she said, "I am married to a very wealthy man." And the lady from Tallahassee was, she was rattled, gentle and soft-spoken. Women from Tallahassee always are. And when the conversation centered on what they expected for Christmas, the wealthy woman says, "Well, my first Christmas with my husband, he built me a magnificent mansion." The lady from Tallahassee said, "Oh, well, bless your heart." The lady from New York said, "And our second Christmas, my husband bought me a beautiful brand new black Mercedes Benz." The lady from Tallahassee smiled and she said, "Well, bless your heart." The woman from New York continued, "Our third Christmas, my husband brought me this exquisite diamond." And again, the lady from Tallahassee said, "Well, bless your heart." Then the woman from New York asked her, "Well, what did your husband buy you for your first Christmas?" And the lady from Tallahassee said, "Well, my husband sent me to charm school." The lady from New York said, "Charm school?" She was kind of amazed. "What on the earth would you want to go to charm school for? She said, "Well, give you an example. Instead of saying what I used to say, now I say, 'Well, who gives a darn?'" And then I learned to say, "Well, bless your little heart." You see, gentleness may be a little difficult in the mad rush of the Christmas season, and I know that. We need to step back and reflect on the thought of that baby in the manger. And we don't often think about the goodness of God, but how else can we think of God at Christmas time? We know God's power, we know of his holiness, but how do we think of his gentleness? Yet this same God who created the heavens and the earth became one like us. That's a humbling experience. Come into this world as a baby, grew in grace and wisdom and understood everything because he experienced it. But he remained sinless because he was God. But he was tempted, but not by God. He was tempted by the devil, but he was able to resist and stay sinless. It's an amazing thing to comprehend. Mark Lowry was on the Christmas in the Brain, Christian television the other day on one of the networks. Anyhow, they were interviewing him and talking about his life and different things in his life when he was with Bill Gaither and the Gaither Vocal Band and so forth. And then he come into being able to write a song that went just number one to the charts. And the man was asking him about that. "Well, how did that song come about?" And he just said, "You know, I was sitting there one day and I just realized. I wondered if Mary knew." So he sat down and he penned, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you delivered will soon deliver you." And I particularly love the final two lines of this song. "Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss this little baby, you have kissed the face of God." How can we possibly get our mind around something like that? And yet, it's the part of the magic of Christmas. "Let your gentleness," Paul said, "be evident to all, for the Lord is near." I'll give you an example of gentleness. You're seeing on the news now, especially, and I thank God that President Trump recognized that what Congress passed in 1995, that Jerusalem shall be and is the capital of Israel. It's been the capital of Israel for 3,500 years, according to biblical history. 1995, Congress passed a law that recognized Israel and recognized Jerusalem as its capital. Presidents after that, every one of them, when they campaigned, said they were going to do it. they were going to enforce that law, and they didn't. They talked, but they never did. Trump also promised when he was campaigning that he was going to do it, and I thought to myself, yeah, right. Well, he did. It's causing a little bit of problem over there, but you know, I don't understand, never could understand, how killing people is going to bring peace. You know, it's just nuts. But anyhow, on television, you're probably seeing a lot of it. And it reminded me that once there was a soldier in the Israeli army. He was on patrol in the area that the Palestinians live. And he felt a rock hit him in his back. And then another one. And then another one. He whirled around with his rifle to fire. And there stood in front of him were several Palestinian children, picking up more stones to throw at him. What was he to do? He couldn't fire live ammunition at those children. He could not allow them also to continue to throw rocks. And suddenly he had an idea. He bent down, he picked up three of the rocks and began to juggle them, like they do in circuses and magicians. And he just began to juggle them. They were mesmerized about him juggling these stones. And then he did a few more other tricks for the children, and they started to laugh. And then he did a grand finale, and the kids applauded him. And he took a bow, and he walked away. You see, that story could have ended differently. We see confrontations in our own land in the last few years with different endings. But it doesn't have to be that way. We could have gentleness of Christ, gentleness that transforms us, and laughter rather than hate. That's the kind of gentleness the Apostle Paul was urging us to adopt in our own lives. And then he went on to write, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God." No wonder that Paul could rejoice even while being in prison. He learned the faith. He met Jesus face to face, and Jesus gave him all the things that he needed to know in order to be a disciple. He could have responded with a different way while he was in prison, but his magnificent gentleness, because he learned the secret, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I want to close with this. There's a Henry Frost. Frost was a missionary to China, pretty famous one. And he was going through a difficult time in life, and he wrote these words in his journal. He said, "I received sad news from home and the deep shadows that had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish." And I think about that. I don't know about you, but I pray a lot, and sometimes it feels though my prayers are hitting the ceiling. They don't go anywhere. That's what he was saying. "I prayed, but the darkness didn't vanish, and I summoned myself to endure. But the darkness only deepened. And then I went to an island station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, 'Try Thanksgiving.' I did," he says, "and every moment, every shadow, every grim left me and did not return because I got a heart of thanksgiving." Have you ever gone through some difficult times when your spirits are fledging and you don't know what to do and you're about ready just to give up? Do you give thanks in the midst of all these difficult times? It's so easy, especially at Christmas time. We can be thankful in one way, in other ways, we're not. We have so much. And we think, well, Santa Claus will reward us with so many nice things this Christmas. The stores are filled this year with symbols of material abundance that we have in this country. But some people, material abundance only masks their spiritual poverty. They grasp all the things external and they become internally poor paupers. Don't be anxious about anything in every situation. By prayer and supplication, give thanks to God and put your requests to Him. Could you give thanks to Christmas, God, at Christmas time this year? Your most cherished thing? How about your sight and your hearing and even your speech? I mentioned Franny Crosby a while ago that She wrote that beautiful song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And she couldn't see. There was another lady born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in 1880. Her name was Helen Keller. She came into this dark world without sight, without hearing, without the ability to speak, unable to see and unable to hear. What a dark world it must have been for this little child. But one of the success stories in all the ages is how Helen Keller came out of that inner darkness into light, which you and I can only view in astonishment. Never seeing with physical eyes the light of the sun that we see, never hearing the sounds that we hear, but she lived a full and radiant life. Did you know that Helen Keller graduated cum laude from Radcliffe College? Even more amazing, through the course of her own life, she became close friends with kings and presidents and some of the most powerful people on the face of this earth. When her teacher, Ann Sullivan, finally brought her to where she could understand and receive the concepts, she also came to know about God and about Jesus. Helen Keller said, "I always knew there was a God, but I never knew what to call him." Helen Keller had a few blessings. But listen as she describes the meaning of Christmas in her essay titled, A Christmas Legend. She said, "A legend tells that when Jesus was born, the sun danced in the sky, the aged tree straightened himself and put on leaves, sent forth from the fragrance of blossoms once more. These symbols of what takes place in the hearts when Christ's child is born anew every year." At least at Christmas time, we reflect on the Christ child. Blessed by the Christmas sunshine, our nature's perhaps long leafless, she said, brings forth new love, kindness and mercy, more importantly, compassion. So the question for all of us this Christmas season is, can we find joy and thankfulness? If you were deaf, if you were blind, if you were unable to speak, Helen Keller knew the joy few people ever attained. She learned how to lay aside all that anxiety in every situation by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, and she presented all her requests to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So don't be anxious about everything and every situation. Lift it up with prayer. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will come into your heart.